Yo, this your boy DJ Drake. Yo, Roy, that ain't making no sense. Man, what you say again?
When I was going up the stairs, I met a man.
Hey, hello.
Who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, I wish he'd go away.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
We've been fascinated by accounts of ghosts and demonic hauntings. For instance, the farmhouse occupied by the Perrin family in the country town of Harrisville, Rhode Island. Or the house bought by George and Kathleen Lutz in 1975. The events of that home would shock the world. Amityville. We are not alone, and in some cases, not even in your own home. Today, we talk to a man who's on the front lines to help you when things get wild and crazy. Welcome, questers. Today we are talking with Mr. Timothy Earle. He is the lead exorcist of investigations, the Sacred Order of St. Michael's Order of Exorcists in Wichita, Kansas. We will talk to him today about demonic possession, demonic spirits in the home, and hear some of his personal testimonies. So, very interesting conversation today with Mr. Timothy Earle. So get locked in with us. This is The Quest.
Listen to me. I have something very important to say. How many loved ones have you lost to such things as this? Drugs. They offer a high or exchange for your life. Alcohol. Take it away, you're better judged. So what are we gonna do? The Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee. So I'm gonna give you 3 steps to rebuke him. Stop. Flee the very appearance of evil. Pray to the one and only God. Rebuke the devil. Just rebuke the devil. Rebuke the devil out your mind. Rebuke the devil out your heart. Rebuke the devil out your life. Rebuke the devil, he will come. Rebuke the devil out your mind. Rebuke the devil out your heart. Rebuke the devil out your life. Rebuke the devil.
Yeah. Jesus. He's out of here.
All right, Questers, this is Roy Washington. You are locked into the Quest. We're talking with Mr. Timothy Earl. He's a graduate of Kansas Newman College. Well, he had a bachelor's in business administration. And how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, I want to start out with a little background on you. Where were you born and raised at?
Well, I was actually born in Grand Rapids, Michigan, but raised and still reside in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, okay. And your family, were you very religious growing up?
No, we went to church on Sundays, so I'm not going to say that we're really religious. It was more over that it was a thing to do. I was an altar boy, you know, served in masses with the black and white gown that you see in the pictures. But otherwise, I wouldn't say we were overly religious.
Okay. What got you interested in the paranormal?
It was a cheap and easy way to entertain foster children.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, back in the 90s, paranormal started becoming popular, going ghost hunting, and, you know, the paranormal shows really started about 95 or so. And being a foster parent, I was always looking for a way to, you know, entertain all the children. We had six children in the house.
Okay.
So I'd take them to supposedly haunted locations with cameras and recorders and things of the nature. And it was always a good, you know, innocent, fun time until we started actually getting voices on recordings and pictures and videos of what most would say ghosts. And that from there, I got bit by the bug and really started researching it and responding to requests for help.
So you're going there basically having fun doing it, but then you actually was stumbled across actual hauntings or activity, huh?
Yeah, we were. It's really surprising when you get your first, what most would say, evidence, and you're going back over and over, and you're asking yourself, is this for real?
Wow.
And then it continues to happen, because at first, you know, I had a healthy dose of skepticism, and I really didn't think that ghosts were real. I really never really thought of it.
Okay.
But then you get that eerie voice and eerie pictures, and it really takes you by a storm.
Wow. What was your, personally, your first paranormal experience?
Well, my first paranormal, it was actually more alien-related, believe it or not.
Okay.
I saw what we think was a UFO, and I called and reported it to the Mutual UFO Network, or most the acronym MUFON,
mm-hmm.
and was speaking with a gentleman out of Kansas City, Kansas, and he said that what I saw was being seen by multiple people, and I realized I wasn't actually crazy. And I actually became a MUFON field investigator for the Wichita area for
okay.
a couple of years. That was my first real, I'd say, somewhat professional foray into the paranormal. And it was so boring that I ended up dropping that because we never see UFOs in Wichita. So,
but that sighting that you've seen, what happened?
What we saw?
Yes. Tell me about that.
Well, we took my wife and kids up to Kansas City for a weekend, and we ventured out to a resort. I forget the name of the resort, but it's irrelevant. We were coming back, and it was late at night. The kids were asleep in the car, and my wife and I looked off into a field, and we saw what was a large spotlight or a headlight, much, much larger, and glowing kind of an eerie blue white glow. And then it suddenly shot straight up and disappeared into the night sky.
Wow.
And it shot up at a speed that was just phenomenal, that would crush, in my mind, would crush a human being. So others have, now thinking back, a very good chance it was probably ball lightning.
Okay.
But you know, at the time I had no idea, and it sure, you know, sparked my imagination.
Okay, well, so speaking about UFOs and we talk about cryptids for a minute. Do you believe in cryptids like the Dogman and Sasquatch?
is Linda Godfrey is actually an acquaintance of mine, and she's written extensively on the Dog Man, and I've read a couple of her books. And I have to say, people are seeing something. I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
But I sure hope Bigfoot is real. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that would be cool. We've been talking about him for years.
Yeah, I haven't had any experiences. I hold open that it is down along the Oklahoma-Arkansas border in the Wichita mountain range. There's a lot of Bigfoot sightings.
Okay.
And I have actually gone camping and Bigfooting down there, but still haven't seen anything.
Okay. Questions, we're talking with Mr. Timothy Earle. Sir, do you believe that you can bring certain things into your home that can invite ghosts or demons, like the Ouija board or certain things like that?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the first things that the order did is put me through some training, and we did learn about what's called intent. When you reach out to something and you don't know what's on the other side, you can't see it, you can't feel it, taste, none of your senses are picking it up except for, you know, maybe somebody who has a third eye.
Okay.
You don't know what you're reaching out to. So you give an invitation and you never know what's coming back.
Right.
And when you're dealing with the demonic, it's never truthful. It's always lies and deceit. So when you're reaching for your uncle or your parent or a lost loved one,
okay,
and something comes back, that, you know, there's a very, very good chance that it's not your loved one. So, yes, using a spirit board is something of the nature, absolutely.
All right, so when there's a family that has an activity in their home, can you walk me through what happens when they contact you guys?
Well, the requests will come via straight me or through a parish, bishop or somebody of the nature. I'll eventually get dispatched, is what we like to call it,
right,
to a home. Before I even go to the home, I will know as much as about the people as possible. You know, with the internet and certain websites, I can get a feel for who they are. And I'll, of course, you know, make initial contact via the phone. And I try not to do interviews with them over the phone. I want to look them in the eyes.
Right.
I'm responsible for basically the central U.S. The closest person that I have that's like me is in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
So I cover Kansas, go up into Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas.
Wow.
I do a lot of traveling.
Okay.
And I'll go sit with people. I'll interview them. And I'm looking for signs of course, mental illness, physical illness. There's a lot of natural disorders that can create the illusion of paranormal activity.
Okay.
And if I feel that they're actually have something to their claim, I'll move into what we call the demonic investigation, and I'll actually try to use certain skill sets to extract or get the entity to reveal itself to me in order to be able to capture evidence to be able to present a case to the order to request clergy intervention.
Mm.
So yeah, I have to, in a nutshell, it's my job to make the demon reveal itself.
Okay, have you had any cases where it actually was a demonic?
I've had three that I will say were a demon.
Mm-hmm.
Demons are actually pretty rare, but I have had three, and I have had what I would say was evil a lot more than that, and then the larger portion of the paranormal activity would be what I would say was human spirits.
Okay. Can you share with me maybe one or two of those cases that was kind of wild?
There is a small town near Wichita by the name of Newton, Kansas.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it was at a parish there where the priest abused boys, just like you see in the news.
Okay.
And it's just one of those unfortunate cases. And it really came to light nationally, where some of the boys had actually committed suicide.
Mm.
So, in like the entire town. I've been called to cases in that town. Two of them were demonic, and a lot of them were just plain evil. And in my mind, it has direct ties to what this priest had done. This one particular home is actually a twin home. It was built in the late 1800s out in the country. It was moved to its current location, and it was owned by a Christian college, Bethel College. Okay. For years up until the 70s, it was resident instructors or students. They just let people stay there throughout the school year.
Okay.
They sold it in the late 70s to a private family who in turn rented it out for income.
Mm.
Through the years that they owned it, there has been two suicides, multiple abandonments where people just left even their cereal in the bowl, just all their belongings just left, just would not walk back into the home.
Wow.
On two occasions, police were called because the doors kept opening and closing on their own. The police videotaped them on one occasion, and yes, the door, exterior doors was opening on its own.
Wow.
There was, I think I mentioned the suicides. There was a murder where a man went in and shot and killed even a two-year-old toddler.
Wow.
There was one case where a young man left the home, was living there, left it, and went a few blocks down the street to a grocery store and shot and killed his father.
Wow.
There were two people taken out and committed to insane asylums. Wow. On one occasion, there was a diary that was found of a young teen detailing demonic activities, outright calling it demons and seeing these things.
Okay.
Voodoo dolls were found in belongings left behind. And the type that they were for protection. So the stories go on and on of this nature. The husband passed, and the mother is still alive, but, close to hospice care, and she wanted the home cleansed. Her children ended up becoming clergy. One of them's not, but they all did graduate with advanced degrees in religious theology, and they were all convinced that there was a demon residing in that home. So they call me to try to cleanse the home, and I show up for the initial interview, and it's a twin home, so you have two driveways. I pull up in one driveway, and I do work with a psychic who brought along somebody who she works with. And we look up into the second story windows and notice one window's dark and one window's light. And we made a comment that the light window is light because it has the mini blinds closed.
Okay.
I was already told that there's nobody living in the home and that there's no electricity or water.
Okay.
I get out and walk over to the second driveway to help the little lady out of the car. Just then, the gentleman with the psychic comes running up to me and says he just saw somebody peek out the blinds on the second story. Yeah. I look up. We all look up, actually, and we see the blinds opening. So I turn to the lady and say, there's somebody in the home. Let me have the key so I can run through and, try to catch them or run them out or,
Okay.
I open the front door and immediately run to the back door, which is deadbolted, and you have to have a key to unlock it from either side.
Okay.
I run upstairs, and as I'm going up the stairs, my hair starts standing on end. My mouth starts salivating, and I start tasting metal. I feel terror that I've never felt in my life.
Wow.
And I go through the home, and nobody's there. Nobody.
Hmm.
The psychic does her walkthrough, and she comes back with a few comments and things. I bring a team back, and we go in to try to get this thing to come out. As I'm saying a rosary in one of the rooms, a cabinet goes flying across the second room. On the other side, somebody witnesses a picture. There's actually a picture hanging on the wall. It comes off the wall and goes flying down the hallway.
Wow.
Because there's no water, the lady has half-gallon jugs of water on the back of the stools, in case somebody had to go.
Yeah.
One of those gets picked up and set out of the restroom into the hallway. a light bulb gets unscrewed and comes down onto a wooden floor and doesn't break.
Wow.
So we have all of this. I present it to the order. They're dispatching a priest to go perform blissful exorcism.
Okay.
And at this time, psychic out of California contacts me, who I've never met, tells me that I need to be careful that this is what's called a Nephilim, and it's going to attack my daughter. She had a premonition.
Okay.
2 months later, my daughter goes into the hospital for seizures, unknown seizures, and they have no idea why she's having them. And I mean, wow. In the end, the priest never gets there in time. The home gets sold, and the person who bought it did some remodeling and renovating, and is still having paranormal activity in the home, and unfortunately does not want me to go back and bring a priest in.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's still there too. So I'm watching it and waiting for the call.
Well, have you ever been physically attacked, or somebody from your team going through a place?
Of course. I mentioned my daughter, but we've been pushed, shoved, scratched. I personally have been pushed down some stairs, not very far. I caught myself pretty quickly. And that also was in a different home. But
wow.
Yeah, it happened.
Okay, and your daughter, hopefully your daughter's doing fine now, right?
I'm sorry?
Your daughter's doing fine now? She's okay?
Oh, yeah, on her as ever.
All right, so going into the places like that, do you have to choke back any fear or something? Because we are human. Do you ever get scared, or is your faith?
You can't help it, absolutely. You pray and walk with the Lord as you go in, but you're human. One of the things that the UN has done is a lot of studies regarding electromagnetic radiation, and one of those studies, we know that the radiation will affect your front temporal lobe, and you can modify human emotion based on that.
Okay.
There is. You can actually modify human behavior, but we think that the supernatural or spirits and certainly demons are using this exact science in order to instill fear upon us.
Okay.
So, I'm just about as scary as anything you'd find out there on the streets. Walking through a home and feeling fear, I can only surmise that something is instilling the fear into my brain.
Right.
Because there's no other reason for it.
Wow. I was looking. You have you're going to be on a show called The Unexplained, right? On History Channel.
That's correct.
Okay, and it's going to be it's going to premiere in September.
Well, I'm not certain at the moment. A couple of things have happened with this. First, it's Unexplained. What they're doing is the show's about things people don't really know about.
Okay.
For instance, one of the episodes I was told was about, assassination attempts that were thwarted by the CIA prior to JFK being killed.
Okay.
Apparently, there was an assassination attempt a few months prior to when he was killed, and the person who thwarted it was actually the very first black CIA operative.
Oh.
He's credited with saving JFK's life.
Okay.
So most people don't know that. And so most people don't know about, for instance, myself or people like me who actually go out and vet all the cases for the order prior to a priest coming in. Everybody knows about a priest coming in and saving the day, but nobody knows what leads up to it.
Right.
So that's why they came. They followed me for a week here in Wichita on a couple of cases. And then apparently it turned out so good that they invited me back out to LA, paved my way out there to film a second episode.
Okay.
And they're in editing. They're supposed to. I was told that it was going to premiere in September. But I just spoke with the executive producer Doug Siegel, and he's uncertain when it will actually premiere. A date hasn't been set.
Okay.
But they are also interested in doing the TV series on what I do. So we're looking forward to hopefully that coming to fruition as well.
So this Unexplained, you're going to be in every episode, or?
I'll be in 2 episodes of that.
Okay.
And then, of course, if the TV series actually happens, I'm assuming I'd be in every episode of that.
Well, you excited about it?
It's kind of hard not to be, you know?
Yeah.
I start thinking that it's a lifestyle I don't want, but then again, I start thinking about how the opportunity to bring the message, how people are out there who actually need help.
Okay.
And I get excited about that, but then I start thinking about, you know, being in the public eye, and I'm not certain that that's all that fun.
Right, and my question would be, when you're going through a house or a place that has activity, is it kind of distracting now having a camera crew? When you know, is that kind of distracting?
It was the cases that we did actually never got to a paranormal investigation portion of it. Mm-hmm. It was because a lot of it is listening to the people and then giving them advice in a true counseling sense. What most people don't realize is that when you have a paranormal activity, your belief system gets turned upside down. Most people, you know, half of the, depending on which poll, half of the U.S. population believe in paranormal activity, and about a quarter believe that they've had paranormal activity. So you're dealing, you know, it's usually the other half that really needs counseling, you know, when they actually have the activity. You know, one woman described it perfectly. She said she was sitting in traffic looking around at everybody, realizing that she didn't belong to this existence. She now had a knowledge that set her aside from regular society, and she didn't feel like she ever belonged again. And this was a woman who was, you know, living in an affluent neighborhood, you know, had wealth and things of the nature. Now, all of a sudden, she had the realization that all of that is for nothing, that this is an extremely short period, and that, you know, foreverness is soon coming. And it just really threw her into depression.
Okay.
So people really suffer PTSD in the true sense after they have a paranormal experience. So that's really on the, for the show itself. We delved into that more and more, and some of the people were obviously delusional, having a mental disability, and we kind of delved into that a little bit. So I haven't honestly seen the episode, so I can only assume that that's what it's going to highlight.
Okay, about to let you go in a few minutes. Do you have another story you could tell us about encounter you had?
There is a place down in Oklahoma, a case that I had that I was called into, and the families that were being affected ended up living on an area of land. They each bought this area of land, and the land was like 160 acres that was plotted out to 5 acres apiece.
Okay.
And they each bought one of those 5-acre lots without knowing the others were buying it. So, the surprise when they all started moving in. Once they did put their homes on those lots, and they were all settled in, they all started having extreme paranormal behavior. And I actually have some of the most solid evidence of a demonic entity coming from this particular case. But then what I find fascinating about this case is their great-great-grandfather actually purchased all of that property, was the original owner of that property, but he purchased it from the Creek Indians by nefarious means.
Okay.
Meaning the person, the Creek Indians who actually own the property, and they can only sell to Indians, they ended up dying by mysterious ways. And the son of the person who would have inherited it ended up having to sue their great-grandfather to get the property back, and ended up losing the suit, and it went on for a long time. And we believe that the son has actually cursed the property and cursed the family.
Okay.
And it was the most solid case that I've ever experienced regarding a curse and how curses work.
Oh.
So that's something that we have to look for as well in order to break curses. You know, they actually work. I didn't never really thought that a curse would actually work until I had this case.
Wow. Here's the conclusion of our discussion with Mr. Timothy Earle, who is the lead exorcist investigator for the Sacred Order of St. Michael, Order of Exorcists. You are locked into the quest.
Yeah, it was. I mean, obscure TV show on an obscure channel. It's just whatever. I did it.
Do you get paid for some of those shows, or like the one you just talked about?
No, I haven't. None of them yet. If the series comes, I would be. But, you know, even that, I looked that up. You know, these reality stars don't make that much money.
They don't?
The show Pawn Stars?
Right. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, so the bald dude who actually runs the pawn shop?
Yeah, Mr. Harrison, Rich Harrison.
Okay. He gets paid $15,000 an episode. So if you do 10 episodes, that's $150K a year, which is not bad.
Right.
But by the by the time, you know, I'm working for a living. I got health insurance and all of that. So by the time you pay all the benefits I lose,
wow,
you know, I'm right back there. Not much. Chumlee gets paid $25K an episode.
Chumlee does?
Yeah, because people like him.
Right, because he's so goofy and everything. Well, I wonder what the dad gets paid, because the dad is real funny as well. To me, him and Chumlee kind of make the show.
Yeah, exactly. I've only seen a few episodes, but I'd agree. So I don't know. You know, the Kardashians make $100K. So, but when you got some goofy looking guy from Wichita, Kansas, I don't think I'm going to be making very much if it comes along.
Oh man, but you know they paranormal is real. It's really gotten big. I listen to Darkness Radio. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis. I listen to that during the week from 9 to midnight.
Who does the Darkness Radio?
Dave Schrader.
Dave Schrader. Okay, no. I was on Jimmy Church. I know about that, but
okay.
And then I go back coast to coast.
Coast to coast.
And Art Bell, so.
Right, coast to coast. And I'm going to send you a couple of links. So I did a couple shows. I did one with Dark Waters. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's from Louisiana. He has a great his series is on YouTube, and but he we talked about the Dog Man. He had a great Dog Man experience, so I guess the Dog Man is real. I'll send you that. But yeah.
So we have down in Oklahoma. It's actually only about a 4-hour drive for me. They have the Hanoi, Oklahoma festival every year, and it's coming up. I'll be going down to that. I actually like that thought of Bigfoot being real. I want that experience really bad. I just, you know, and I want to believe people.
Right.
That'd be really cool.
You say you want that experience. You don't want to, you want to go out there on a Bigfoot hunt?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been on one, but I'm looking, I want to do another, but I can't find anybody to take me.
Well, yeah, but I just want to know what you guys going to do when you if he's real, and if you find him, you prepared to for the worst.
So 5 years ago, I took my wife and two kids to a cabin down there in Bigfoot area just for a family vacation. My wife turns to me and says, "Hey, you're gonna go Bigfoot hunting, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." You know,
okay.
And she asked me, "Well, so what are you gonna do?" She asked me the same question. And I said, I'll run screaming like a woman. What else would I do? She says, "You're going to need a gun." So I'm liking the direction this is going, right?
Yeah.
So I get the paycheck that I'm going to buy a gun, and I go shop the gun. I find myself a nice .45 ACP, beautiful gun. We walk to this, and it's at a pawn shop. I walk in to buy that gun. My wife gets stopped by a different salesman, and he shows her a pink 9mm, right?
A pink one?
Pink one.
Okay.
Guess which one we left with? We left with the pink gun. I was so mad that I left the gun here in Kent, Wichita, and didn't take it with us when we went camping, or went down to the cabin.
So you went squatching with a pink gun.
You got a 600-pound gorilla and you're going to put a 9mm in it? No, you're not stopping
right.
it.
Right, right. That thing's going to just brush that right on off.
And it laughed me in embarrassment with this pink handgun. So,
anyway. Oh, that's a great story. Will you be getting me the extra stuff by the end of today, or I know you're going to be busy the rest of the?
Yeah, actually, you will. Believe it or not, today is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday!
Start a cake, and once that's in the oven, I'll come back and start sending me some stuff.
Okay, happy birthday, and enjoy it with your family, and God bless you. And I really enjoyed my conversation with you.
Thank you. You take care, Roy.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
You bet. Take care. Bye.
electronic voice phenomena, a sound found on electronic recordings that are interpreted as spirit voices that have been either unintentionally recorded or intentionally requested and recorded. Parapsychologist Constantins Rodiev, forgive me if I mispronounced that, who popularized the idea in the 1970s, described EVP as typically brief, usually the length of a word or short phrase. Enthusiasts consider EVP to be a form of paranormal phenomena, often found in recordings with static or other background noise. Me, what I think EVP is, my definition would be voices from the grave. Anyone familiar with ghost hunting or, paranormal investigating knows that EVP is an integral part when investigating an area or building or house, old factory, or whatever it may be, that claims to have activity. Right now we're about to listen to a few very, very kind of chilling EVPs that I picked up doing some research. So listen to these EVPs. It's all from YouTube, and it's narrated. But electronic voice phenomena is crazy. And as I say, I believe most of it is voices from the grave. So here's some EVPs, some frightening ones. You are locked into the quest, Roy Washington.
WKCR is an FM radio station based in New York. One odd night in the year of 1995, the radio station went offline for approximately 3 minutes. During this time, it was said to have been hijacked by a bone-chilling female voice. Brace yourself. After the first two bars of music end, it's guaranteed to bring shivers down your spine. Following the initial override and heaving breathing, the mysterious voice begins to read out the name and time of death of various people who lived in New York. The chant-like rhythm combined with the faint ring of chimes makes this second segment emulate a situation that is nothing less than demonic. The voice was never traced, nor was any major connection made between the names being read. This leaves the paranormal events as an outright shocking mystery. About 7 years ago, on March 9th, 2008, a 10-second clip of an eerie, unidentifiable voice was discovered in the midst of a historian's research, which dated all the way back to 1860. This recording was created using a phonautograph, which was the bleeding edge of sound-based technology at the time. Compared to the audio we are used to today, this clip sounds nothing less than a demonic chant you would hear in your worst nightmare. In the midst of the faint and fuzzy audio, the unknown voice is barely singing the lyrics of a famous folk song, Au Clair de la Lune. The mystery and the historical age of this clip make it downright frightening. The original Night Stalker is a name that was given to a brutally evil man who ferociously raped 50 women and killed 10 victims over a 10-year time span. Before each of these gruesome acts, the Night Stalker would often leave muffled, horrifying messages on a victim's answering machine. Here is one of the recordings that police believe to have linked to the original Night Stalker.
Thank you.
The Night Stalker was never convicted and is still out there today.
It's
frightening to consider the possibility that your answering machine could contain a similar message any day now. The most heart-wrenching stories is of the Jonestown Massacre. The People's Temple was a cult led by Jim Jones, which held approximately 1,000 people. Jones isolated his followers at a place informally named Jonestown and promised them a utopian society where everything would be equal. In the end, Jones' narcissistic and extremist religious beliefs led him to killing over 900 people, including children, with cyanide-infused Kool-Aid. The following is the clip of Jones' last words while he brutally committed mass genocide among his followers.
Death is... I tell you, I don't care how many screams you hear, I don't care how many anguished cries, death is a million times preferable to 10 more days of this life. If you knew what was ahead of you, if you knew what was ahead of you, you'd be glad to be stepping over tonight.
Jim chose to kill all the children first. The cries from the children slowly dying from the inside out is frightening and sickening enough, but it gets worse following Jim's last words.
We commit suicide, we commit an act of revolutionary suicide protesting the conditions of an inhumane world.
After Jim speaks his final words and the poison was finally setting in, you can clearly hear a very alarming demonic growl, followed by faint demonic chants. Once everyone was confirmed dead, Jim Jones would take his own life by shooting himself in the head. It's not a surprise that an act as disgusting as this can awaken the presence of evil supernatural beings.
One of the craziest EVPs you will hear is that of the Villisca Axe Murder House. The Villisca Axe Murders occurred between the evening of June 9th, 1912 and the early morning of June 10th, 1912 in the town of Villisca in southwestern Iowa. A family was slaughtered, axed to death. And like I said, I believe EVPs, I just call it voices from the grave. And you know, you'll be surprised sometimes the EVPs give you clues as to what happened. This is a chilling EVP. It kind of gives you the exact sound of what happened that night. So here is the EVP from the Villisca Axe Murder House in Villisca in southwestern Iowa. Here it is, y'all. You're locked into the quest.
The most disturbing audio data collected by APRA at the Villisca Axe Murder House was the sounds of a young girl screaming. You will now hear that data in this clip.
You are locked into the quest.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6 chapter 12 verse.
What's your style? My style? You can call it the art of fighting without fighting.
The art of fighting without fighting? Show me something.
Yes, I hate demons. I rip them in half, grab them, then I be stabbing them with my lyrical dagger. I'm getting madder like every single minute, cause every time there's problems, demons trying to get me in it. Ah, they're always doing something to try to hold me back from serving Christ, so I hit them with a spike bat. Splat, the devil's on the ground, so I kick them, cause this is one Christian that ain't gonna be another one of the devil's victims. Shake him with my rhyme in the spine, vengeance is mine, say it the Lord, so I don't live by the sword. And if they got beef, then I leave it alone, cause I'm saved to the bone. God is on the throne, he set me free, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And now I be hanging demons by their necks with my mic cord. And you can punch me in the lip, but I still won't quit, preaching the word of God, so step the heck back, cause I spit. When I be rapping up on the microphone, cause I'm a cyclone. Belon T-Bone is the one who be known for jacking demons with a crowbar over the head. They keep on beating them down until they swimming in a pool of red. Then I'll spit on them, laugh at them, and step on them, and let them know that I be that redeemed fool again, the one who's known to put demons in check, break their necks, and at the same time catch wreck. So if I see a Ouija board, you know I'm gonna kick it, cause I don't play with sin, yo, I'm throwing out the wicked. In my spiritual walk every single day, you know that I climbs a little bit higher, because all of these demons on my trail, and I don't wanna fail, cause the nails went right through his hands. But some people don't understand all the pain that he went through. But what if it happened to you? What would you do if they whipped you 39 times with a cat of nine tails and stuck a crown of thorns in your head till you bled, then drilled your hands and feet to the form of a wooden cross? I thank God that the blood he shed wasn't lost. They whipped him, kicked him, spikes were driven through his hands and feet so that I could be forgiven. The blood of Christ was a sacrifice that set me free, so for eternity I wouldn't be living in misery. But people swearing hell's gonna be fun and games, but wait till the judgment day when everybody's burning in the flames. Ah, they'll yell, cause hell is a place of fire and brimstone where the skin melts off your face. So you best throw the wicked out your life, accept the sacrifice and it'll bring you back to life. But in a whole different place this time, where there's no pain, sorrow, gangs getting mugged to crime. But there'll only be streets of golden mansions and won't be lunatics like that Vato Charles Manson. The only lunatic in all of heaven will be me. I'm checking demons, but the diablo y te mato a ti, te doy una paliada, man, y tú lo sabes. I'm knocking out the devil like Julio Cesar Chavez. Then I'll kick him in his face till his nose is broke. Blood be flying everywhere, there's fog from my gun smoke. Cause I stuck my double barrel down his mouth and I clicked it. Ch-ch-pow, I'm throwing out the wicked.
Conclude, just like to say, the darkness is really moving. I mean, with our cries of bringing prayer back to schools, there is a movement for satanic literature and satanic anthems to be sang at our athletic events. It's going to be crazy. With the election and all our issues dominating our news and timelines, this spiritual battle is brewing.
All right, thank you, Mackenzie. Some Delta parents are in an uproar after atheist and satanic literature is to be distributed in high school and middle schools in their area. Western Colorado atheists and free thinkers are working with the Freedom from Religion Foundation to offer Delta students an alternative way of thinking. The Delta County School District says that they cannot discriminate against any groups when it comes to non-curricular materials. In December, Gideon Bibles were distributed to students, which the Western Colorado atheists say prompted their event.
This is the other side of that. The way our policy is written is that we cannot discriminate what is handed out. We just have to follow the process.
They're getting exposed not only to a big lesson about federal laws and our Constitution, but also about differing points of view, which, of course, exist throughout the country and the world.
The atheist literature will not be handed out, but rather placed on a table in a school library, allowing students to pick it up if they wish. On April 1st, the Delta School District is looking into revising their policy so they can still provide materials that benefit students but do not include religious matters or beliefs.
Unbelievable. Thanks to everyone that support Quest. Much respect to Mr. Timothy Earl, who puts his safety on the line going into these locations for the people, for the families. Big ups, Mr. Earl. I really enjoy talking with you. Hope to talk with you again one day soon. Big ups with your endeavors and in TV. And just shine that light, brother. You know, I'd like to thank everyone, like I said, for supporting us. You know, from Brother Moss to, you know, the Washingtons, Clintons, and Lewis's. Melissa Miles and Marvin, you know, shout out to everybody who's part of 414, DJ Dre Dilla, and Young Bully, Lucy Liu, Chico Manolo, Nonchalant, Damo Payne, you know, shout out to all of them, Paris, my nephew, shout out to my family, Desi and Shonda, and, you know, the whole Washington family, Ariana, everyone. Shout out to everyone. Yeah, you know, I keep saying that's a great line from Tuskegee Airmen, Courtney B. Vance, saying, hey, if you don't believe in God, you better have a damn good substitute. And with what they're trying to do and with what we're going to be seeing in the future, it's really going to get wild out here. And you better have a damn good substitute. But for me, I like to stay in God's hands, because it's going to get real dark out here, get real crazy. But we know how it ends. For those who stand tall, walk that narrow path, and stay righteous. You know what I'm saying? Not perfect, but just having that love in your heart and doing the best that you can. On that righteous side, on that narrow path, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, be your own person, have your own style. Don't go following the masses. A lot of times the masses lead to destruction. You know, keep on your own path. Keep on that righteous path, that narrow path, and be a light. You know, so thank you. This has been a great episode. I really enjoyed it. So until next time, much love from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of Quest. Everyone here at Quest, love you, thank you, and be blessed.
Said he's been so kind to me. Let me be so the inside.